the Sferio team.
Thanks for having me, Amy. It's been great.
It's really been wonderful. We have some announcements to do, and I think that in honor of your presence, we'll continue with the Haitian music theme here. So let's put on a little bit of Tabu Kombo here to be our background music for that. Let's see if we can get this to set up right here. Usually we have this very specific Sferio announcement music, but today we'll do it this way. We have a few more things to tell you about here. For example, this weekend, in addition to being Gay Pride weekend, we told you last week about all the many different Gay Pride events that are going on that people might be interested in, but this weekend there is actually a Chelsea Creek River Revel, which is, that's a mouthful, that's happening on Meridian Street, on the bridge, actually, between East Boston and Chelsea. If you can imagine that, it's going to be a whole eco-fair emphasizing environmentally sound practices and fun. And that's going to be from 11 to 3 Saturday over there in Chelsea. Saturday, of course, is also the Cambridge River Festival in its umpty-umpth year of bringing you, I think this year they have like 5 music stages and all kinds of stuff going on. On Sunday, June 15th, there will be a Parade for the Future, which is going to be an artist-led parade that'll be starting at Park Street T-Stop, and it's going to go through the different neighborhoods in the Boston area that could be at risk of flooding as global warming continues. It's sort of a way of raising awareness about issues of environmentalism and the like. The artists ask that you dress in blue colors. And as I said, that's going to start at Park Street at 4 p.m. and it'll go until 5:30. It'll sort of wander through many different neighborhoods. You can find out more about that at the organizer's website. Her name, Jane Marshing, is spelled JaneMarshing.com. If you put that in as your website and then /platform2, you will get more information about the parade for the future. It's 7 o'clock and you're listening to WMBR Cambridge. We are 88.1 FM. We are the farthest left on your radio dial, and I have a couple more things that I'm going to tell you about because I haven't heard the deep and beautiful tones of Music for Human Beings to remind me yet of what's coming up next. On Monday, there's a whole series. Are you getting the feel of this? There's a lot of environmental things going on next couple days. And so Monday, there is an event called Low Carbon Living and the Green Wave Campaign. We'll be having a meeting. That's from 6:30 to 8 p.m. You can check that meeting out in Fields Corner if you are so inclined. And that is Fields Corner, of course, in Dorchester. They are located at the Fields Corner T-Stop on the Red Line. That'll be an opportunity to learn about energy conservation and putting together a community energy plan, trying to work together in community, which, of course, you know, that's what Sferio is all about. And one more party-related kind of thing to mention on Wednesday of next week. I know Wednesday's not really a big party night, but you never know. It's summertime. Anything could happen. The wonderful folks from Clandestino are going to be having a party with Los Auténticos Decadentes. And I've got a little bit of information about that for you here in Español. And it says, su esencia popular trascendió los límites de los recitales y los salones de fiesta e invadió tribunas de fútbol en toda Latinoamérica. They have written many, many songs that are hugely popular. They are none other than Los Auténticos Decadentes, and they will be performing at the Hard Rock Cafe next Wednesday night. And that is located at Clinton Street in the south end of Boston. That show starts at 9 p.m. And for more information about it, you can go to the Clandestino website, which is clandestino.us. In other words, clandestino.us. And those are the fabulous Sferio announcements for you from your host, Amy Battisti-Ashe. That's, of course, myself. And We've had a fabulous time. I keep saying fabulous. Fabulous must be the word today. Maybe it's because, you know, it's Gay Pride Month. You know, it's all the fabulousness is in the air. I don't know. Maybe it's just because I need a new word. Anybody who has a recommendation for what could be the new Sverio word, feel free to call us. 617-253-8810. We're always happy to talk with you. And, of course, you can email us at Sverio at WMBR.org. And we'll put on a little bit more Sverio-related tunes for you here while we transition over into music for human beings. If you never caught music for human beings, stick around. It's quite an enlightening experience. That's all I'm going to say about that. All right. Here for your listening pleasure, a little bit of the outro announcement music to back up Tabu Combo. And we'll catch you next Friday at the same time, 6 to 7 p.m. I'm Amy. Thank you again. See you next week.
مرحبا إلى Music for Human Human Beings. أنا الدكتور جالس السكران and with me is
Scrabbles,
the expert in
putting useless words together.
Putting the word together from the letter. So the purpose here is in the understanding of the combinations from indivisible elements into new complex forms.
Right. I guess trying to fill the empty tube of our bodies with
fill
letters.
Fill the tube. Like the word, the person is full of nothing, but is an aggregate of things forming emptiness.
I don't think things can really form emptiness, but maybe you're on the right track.
Are you familiar with the topological construct of the Klein bottle?
Oh, yes. But is the Klein bottle emptied after your house?
I'm really not a mathematician.
Okay, so you're not familiar with the topology of the Klein bottle?
Well, I'm familiar with the construct.
Oh. Is that a low sound? Yep. So, I guess Arthur is still studying urology, but back in Croatia.
In Croatia.
So, maybe we'll hear from him. But I guess even if we don't hear from him, we can be sure that he's still urinating well and his excretory function.
I believe sincerely that if the urinary function of a powerful spirit such as our friend Rainbow Beam were in distress, we would be aware.
Really? You think his power sound would resonate all the way from Croatia to here?
I believe it is possible.
That's pretty spectacular.
Well, Mr. Rainbow Beam was imbued with a spirit we might call a new machine.
Uh-huh.
Much as the typewriter revolutionized typing in the industrial world,
mm-hmm.
Rainbow Beam revolutionized thinking and existing in the natural universe.
Really? I guess that's what you're saying, the natural universe would supersede the mechanical world?
It is only in the sense that we have one context and we have another context.
Mm.
Anyway, this is my belief, the belief of Dr. Jalas Sakran.
Okay. So how does Dr. Jalas think that Arthur revolutionized the new world? I guess he took us into a new age, but what kind of new age, I guess, are we in now?
Well, let us understand him by analogy.
Mm-hmm.
So, Mr. Beam was a deep and complicated creature, but he seemed to simplify the New Age concept and the modern existence, our negotiation with the universe, the spirit realm.
Mm-hmm.
It enormously increased the value of thought.
Mm.
With the aid of Mr. Rainbow Beam, a thinker could produce much more quickly his thoughts. These results could even have been seen, I believe, in the countryside, where Rainbow Beam did not directly speak, but his effect was known.
Because he thought so quickly, And you get to, he outthought us.
He the man not only emitted light, he caused others to emit light.
Wow. Delightful.
Mm. Well, it was truly a pleasure to know him.
Yeah.
And,
you know, he even gave me a really nice pen that it had a, the pen had a light bulb at the end of it. If I pressed a button on the pen, it emitted light. And I didn't realize the meaning of that pen until now.
He was, in more than one way, introducing light into your life.
Yeah.
Hmm. Well, as always, the program is not about Scrabbles and myself. It is about all of you. So if you would like to contribute, perhaps to share with us sources of light in your life, please call. The phone number is 617-253-8810, and our operator states that there are two threads of communication available simultaneously. But back to our Croatian urology friend.
Mm-hmm.
To me, Rainbow Beam is one of a number of characters who, perhaps even more obviously than agricultural improvement, thought manufacturing rested on the coming of better, more easily obtained and ingenious thoughts.
Hmm.
We find, I believe, other free thinkers and philosophers that have similar effect.
Like whom?
Well, for example,
like Hibiscus is one, I guess.
But Hibiscus,
yeah.
Certain our brother,
Peace Child Peter.
Sure. But also, I believe I've spoken in the past of a spirit friend I have by name of George.
No, I don't know George.
George is the departed spirit of my infant brother.
I'm very sorry to hear that you have a departed spirit.
Well, the truth is that infant mortality is a reality. And well, I'm grateful only that, I mean, George knew nearly no other existence. So don't feel sorry for George.
Mm-hmm.
I'm only grateful that I was able to connect with George afterward.
Oh. But so you're saying that George had a very sudden, sad, frenzy death, but you connected with him maybe even after he left the womb, but after he left the earth.
Far after he left the earth.
Far.
Yeah. When I reached my own adolescence, George was my elder brother, but he did not survive even to my birth.
Mm.
And I learned of his existence through these encounters.
Hmm.
Through George. But George taught me about his knowledge regarding existence before birth, which we spoke of last week. About the hypothesis of George that we select our difficulties before birth.
And I guess George maybe didn't have time to select his difficulties, or maybe he selected the difficulty of death itself.
I believe that is a distinct possibility.
Hmm. Oh, to select.
Hmm.
To select that is quite the...
But it's a comforting belief.
Maybe. I wonder what Arthur would select for himself?
Well, he selected his own urological difficulties.
Right. Maybe Arthur, in secret, has been hiding a urological difficulty from us. Maybe all those trips to the bathroom are really not what we thought.
It's possible. But I recall him being a very rested soul. So I'm not sure if he was deceptive, that he mm-hmm. withheld anything. Many creatures withhold their difficulties.
Their tenesmic times.
Hmm. But, this withholding, this in-secreting is in itself a difficulty, I believe. That
in secreting, like to secrete, but to the opposite of secreting, to not
to withhold.
That's a innovative word.
I'm not sure if it has a proper analog in English.
Maybe in real language.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm finally understanding your accent now. It's been a tough trek.
But yeah, I apologize.
I can only appreciate it now.
The birth in the Hejaz, there's a very different way of speaking, and the language is it's fairly different.
Yeah.
There are sounds that we produce normally in speech that are not heard in English.
When you talk with George, does he sound like you do, or does he have is his voice imbued with a knowledge of death? That
there is no voice. We only think to each other.
Oh.
I know George from the particular images that he produces in my brain.
So maybe he lives in your brain and just has a projector and kind of a 25 millimeter spits out those movies.
It's definitely possible. I certainly recall the effect of encountering George had upon me. I thought I was crazy. But I spoke with my parents about the possibility of having an older brother. They had withheld this information from me in their own insecretization. And the result was that indeed I had an older brother. The name George was not his. I had invented this name because it seemed to suit him well. But I did indeed have an older brother.
What was his actual name?
I believe his name was Abdul Aziz.
Oh.
Which is a fairly common name. George is unheard of in the Hejaz, but I assigned him this name late in my journeys when speaking of him to a spirit master in Babylonia.
You went to Babylonia?
Of course.
It's a pretty impressive track.
Well, it's really not very far from where I grew up. It's down in the area you call today Iraq. And, it's mostly ruins, excavation, underground. But there are a few masters who reside there in hiding. But they can be found by their spirit traces.
Their spirits are traceried.
They're in tracered. Yeah, traceried. Varied and tracered.
Huh. In tracered, that's a pretty good word, too. Tracered. I mean, it's not a word, but for you, I make concessions for you, Dr. Jalas. I know you know so much.
I appreciate
it. You think very quickly, and when I can't keep up, I know that you're just making up words. It's okay.
Well, my learning molded my culture, the roots of my knowledge is in an emphasis on words and the art of words, and later on the interactions of these words with the speaker's skin.
Yeah. Words make you feel things, like...
Oh, of course, of course.
Words are a vesicant for you.
A vesicant.
Like wartime things that make you feel really bad on your skin. Or maybe they're the opposite.
Or it depends really on the word. Don't you find that certain words have a particular flavor to you? That I feel like it is a mistake for a speaker to believe that only his actions are actions. Speech also constitutes action. I'm not sure that thought constitutes action, but certainly speech.
Mm-hmm. I think everybody would be pretty clear that thought does not constitute action, but...
But seemingly there are people who are, as for speech, but you really regard, for example, I mean, you realize that you may deserve blame for something you say. Hmm. Is that clear?
No.
Like, this is what I mean by action. For example, if I am stealing bicycles from MIT students, mm-hmm. Habitually, mm-hmm. Using a variety of mechanical and spiritual devices to accomplish this theft.
That's an impressive theft.
It is theft, however, mm-hmm. and it is deserving of blame. Mm-hmm. Of course, the particular in any case, it deserves blame. But likewise, if I speak harshly to a man on the street who asks me for, in succession, $45, the time, and a handkerchief, or perhaps directions to a cinema, uh-huh. This is also an action, uh-huh. akin to theft.
Yeah, handkerchiefs are undervalued, for sure. I mean, they can help people in your nose, and that's a pretty big deal.
And to the spitter, mm-hmm. He may find new ground to spit on mm-hmm. in that handkerchief.
For sure. Handkerchief.
Hmm. Well,
I hear back in the day they didn't even call them handkerchiefs, they were just kerchiefs.
Kerchief, yeah. That's perhaps an abbreviation. I believe we have our first caller. Let's see if this magic will happen. Hello?
Would you like a smoke and a pancake?
A smoke?
A smoke and a pancake. You know. Flapjack and a cigarette?
I would like a pancake.
All right. Sugar and a waffle? No.
A waffle actually even better than a pancake.
Sugar and a waffle? Pipe and a crepe?
You prefer waffles.
Yeah, I think they're more meaty.
Pipe and a crepe? No.
Crepe.
Bong and a blintz?
Crepes are kind of wimpy.
No. Bong and a blintz?
There we go.
Oh, well, then there is no pleasing you. No.
I'd be pretty happy with that. I don't know about you.
Well, about this gentleman, let us speak about his spirit and the effects that his particular decisions have had on his offerings. Mm. You notice that his decisions are both always about smoking implements, uh-huh. and breakfast food. Well, it's true. I am only noticing a pattern. I would deduce that the man is Dutch and that he consumes large quantities of his own dry skin flakes.
Really?
Certainly.
That's disgusting.
Well, I mean, let's be clear. First of all, I'm saying two things. The man has dry skin due to the unusual accent with which he speaks his words. And secondly, that he consumes it, hence the rasping. Oh, and I believe perhaps we have the same caller has returned to us. Marhaban.
Bonger Blintz.
Ah, he has returned indeed. Our Dutch friend, speak.
Pipe and a crepe.
So realize the pattern.
Sugar and a waffle? All right. Flapjack and a cigarette? A smoke and a pancake? You know.
And unfortunately, again, we have lost him.
Dr. Joss, what have you been listening to tonight?
Well, we are listening to William and Aline from a fantastic album. The track is called Angel's Whisper.
Yeah, I hear those pretty often. I never thought to make a song about them. But Angel's got a really nice voice. I don't know, I'll be sleeping, I'll hear a voice and...
Angels,
yeah. The baseball team's really bad.
The Angels. They have a team.
Yeah, they suck. But if they modeled their voices after the Angels, they'd be pretty good. Delicious. But and what was the first song that we listened to?
We listened to some by Kudzu. Shadow Crossing, Somewhere, A Lost Star, and we also listened briefly to an album, Deus Ex Machina.
Is that Arabic?
No. Perhaps it is Latin or French. I'm not sure. According to the album cover, the music was... Oh, forgive me, I'm reading. It is produced, mastered by a man named Boris.
Boris? Oh.
Which is, I believe, explains things.
I didn't get that impression that it explained things, but...
Well, you receive some sort of sense from the harshness, from the angle of the
letters.
Sound. That you receive.
But B is a pretty curvy letter. R is also pretty curvy.
It is.
S is possibly the most sigmoid curvy.
But the shape of the letter belies the angularity of the person. Don't you often find that men named Max are gentle?
Yeah.
And, women named Susanna... or Susan, or tend to be somewhat difficult and harsh.
I like that theory. So if you take a Japanese person with, when you write out their name, it's very, very curvy. Maybe that belies an uncurved aspect of the personality.
Certainly, it's possible. It's possible. Don't you believe that, the parents of an angry child will give them a nice name, perhaps to
mollify the behavior,
or to press on the child the pacific attitude. It's a possibility. We may name a weak child, Alexander, conqueror. To try to make them more, tough.
I would name my child Jalus Conqueror. I think that'd be forceful.
Jalus Conqueror?
Yeah, I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Do you like it?
Yes. It's very rare that in English people will name their children with actual words.
You know?
They will give them meaning with some layer of mystery or enigmatic covering.
Yeah, but or just name the kid Strong Conqueror.
Directly.
Yeah. There we go.
Or Icy Wind, or, you know.
Yeah. I guess Arthur was really on the right track. I mean, Rainbow Beam is, it's right there. It's boom.
Rainbow Beam.
Hibiscus also.
Mm-hmm.
A plant. What more could you want for in life than a beautiful plant to
and
be
our,
named after?
Our brother, Peace Child Peter.
The triumvirate of words.
Exactly, and the meaning is so straightforward and simple. Well, apparently we have yet another caller, or perhaps the same Dutch gentleman. Hello?
There's all kinds of reasons here why badminton might be on the decline.
Badminton is the best game ever. It does not deserve to be on the decline.
For one thing, it's foreign. It's probably French.
Just like Deus Ex Machina.
We've gone through the Middle Ages, and we're in the terrible twos right now. We're pulling out of it.
Behind every joke, there's a half truth, and I think the same goes for horror.
I have to say, there's a dog called a whorehound. Whorehound.
Oh, and zombies are very much like robots. It's firmly buried in our roots. It's not acceptable.
It's wrong. Perhaps.
But.
Perhaps whoremongering.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
That's not right. Perhaps.
But. Cause and effect.
It's wrong. Well, in boy's life.
It's not acceptable.
That's not going to be pretty later.
Now that's a network of tubes. The show's not over yet, folks. It's firmly buried in our roots.
Now is that the interweb? There's all kinds of reasons here why.
I think it's more like the Bloggo Blog. Bloggus.
That's from that rack of lamb.
Bloggo Blog. That was a great call.
It was our mixer friend.
Maybe we should accept calls from, if you ever know a person who has a name that's made up of words. It seems to be a hot topic right now. Let us know. Number is 617-253-8810.
Yeah, and in Arabic, often people are, the language is ancient, and many people have meaningful names.
What does your name mean, Dr. Jalus?
Jalus literally is reclining. So it is an attitude of repose, much like the universe or perhaps Buddha.
And doctor is the same meaning in Arabic?
Doctor is a doctor in Arabic. It's it's an appellation. It's not my parents did not name me. They did not name me.
How great would it to be named Doctor as your first name?
It would be wonderful. Be astounding.
To have your name be Doctor Reclining.
Or Recline. Have you read
Doctor Recliner?
I remember reading of a character whose name was Major Major Major. Are you familiar
Fantastic.
With this?
Fantastic. I don't know him.
Yeah, and by some error in the he was drafted. And by some clerical error, instead of becoming a private, he became a major.
Brilliant. So they work on the power stones, the quartz.
The power stone.
I mean, to have that kind of name means something working for you. Your parents can't supply everything.
No, I agree. Well,
that guy started life with his tube half full. That's an unfair advantage to have the name.
It's true. He was pre-bronzed. Well, we have our caller again, or perhaps another caller. Let's find out. Marhaban.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm sorry?
Welcome. Oh. We are. You are on the air.
Thank you for taking my call.
Thank you for calling. Perhaps you know of people in your life that whose names are contrary to their character.
Yeah, actually, I called in regards to that. My last name is Alexander, but I'm a big, bulky, tough guy. But I wondered if you've enlightened me. Like, I wonder if... Well, that's my last name, not my first name, so...
Do you perhaps have a progenitor who was sickly or, you know...
Right.
You're weak. I mean, obviously, you yourself are well-named.
Yeah, I think so. That might be a thing. But I have a question concerning letters and the spelling of numbers. And I heard this question last night, and I got it immediately. And other people just couldn't grab a hold of this concept. But it was a very simple question, which is, what is the only whole number that when it's spelled out alphabetically is... in reverse alphabetically. And it's a very simple answer.
One?
That's it. O-N-E. And people were guessing 11 or... I'm like, wow, it's one. I mean, how simple could you get?
No, this is good. Wow. This is an admirable attunation to the spelling and order of numbers.
Right.
Where did this puzzle arise?
Well, it was on a... Well, I'm a big Jeopardy fan, so that was Final Jeopardy last night.
Wow. Did the contestants get it correct? Did they guess 11? Because that would be amazing.
One person guessed 11. One person guessed ton, T-O-N. And Alex T-O-N. Is like, excuse me, but that is not a number. And it was very funny.
Not in English.
But considering the number zero... not the spelling of it, but the strength and power the actual number zero actually has in contradiction to its actual nothingness. You know, when you just look at that number alone, it's just nothing, but in, you know, contradiction, it does hold so much power. It's unbelievable.
It's true. Much as... the typewriter revolutionized industrial typing.
Right.
Zero really revolutionized industrial counting.
Right.
In an astonishing way. This is an astute observation you make.
Right. True.
It appears we have yet another caller. But we fortunately have two lines. So, one moment. Hello?
Wow.
Yeah, wow. It started at zero, went to one, two, three, four, five.
And then returned instantly to zero. in a profound way.
To nothing.
So, Mr. Alexander, do you believe also that there are difficulties in your life that you selected for yourself?
Exactly, yes, definitely. Things that I'm trying to overcome, yeah.
It is a comfort. It's sort of, obvious when you find that you are well equipped to handle a particular difficulty, I believe, that
right.
It was something you chose.
Is what you chose more useful than Scrabble?
It's a very difficult subject to explain. I hate even talking about it because a lot of times I think that there's a lot of jealousy from other people from what I do, and I always get put down for, or like, you know, like I wouldn't say misunderstood or anything like that, but like, but I'm a musician. I consider myself pretty good, and you know, working with all these musicians that I have in my life, it's a very competitive realm. Everybody wants to be on the top, and I'm a very humble person. I don't go out there all cocky and say, "Oh, I'm the best musician in the world." Definitely not.
Of course.
But you can. Probably safely say that you're better than Deus Ex Machina that we just heard.
Right.
Yeah.
Certainly. I mean, well, you could hardly consider yourself musical otherwise.
Right.
And, but you find that when you speak to people of your musicality, that sometimes they are intimidated, perhaps?
Yeah, definitely. In a weird way, without showing their true colors, because, you know, I work actually with a lot of musicians that I consider even better than myself, and because they focus on one particular instrument, where I'm a, you know, I play pretty much everything, so it's an interesting kind of thing. I think they're either trying to tell me to focus on one thing so I can be the best at it, or they're jealous that I can play so many different things. It's kind of interesting.
So, which instrument do you favor?
Well, I consider myself a rhythm player, and I basically grew up playing keyboards, guitar, and bass guitar, and I was a drummer in high school, and so I consider myself mainly a rhythm player, or, as opposed to a one-note player, like when you play a saxophone or flute, you know, or trumpet, you're only playing one note at a time.
Whereas if you are playing the dulcimer or guitar,
or the keytar even,
or a piano.
Right, true. So it's interesting. But I just try to roll along and be friends with, you know, be positive about everything. It seems to work out.
And what is your opinion on Confucius?
You know, I haven't actually read his philosophies, but I'm into the Zen. I'm into the Zen, you know, way of thinking. It is what it is. That's all it is.
Dr. Charles, why do you ask about Confucius?
Well, it's only that I'm thinking of some of his great quotes, and he's often quoted. Oh, and it looks like we have another call. Let's try again.
You know, I don't think you know any Confucian quotes.
Hello?
As he's just a broken record. As he's just a broken record.
I think it's a Confucian quote. Confucius is all about the broken records. He really got pissed off at them.
Well, perhaps one of my favorite quotes by Confucius. Mr. Alexander, are you still there? Oh, it seems we've also lost Mr. Alexander. One of my favorite quotes by Confucius was, 10 goddess-like daughters are not equal to one son with a hump. We have another call. No, we don't have another call.
I guess Confucius spoke in Chinese. It was translated to maybe
many languages,
and then translated to Arabic, and then it went through your mind and got translated to the words that Dr. Jalas likes to use. I think it becomes deeper when uttered from your lips.
I try to imbue the speech I make with the depth I feel in it. We have a call again, but let's see who. Ah, it's our friend the theremin. Well, let's listen to him for a while. See, this is a big change.
Good morning, and good to see you again.
Have you played the theremin, Dr. Ellis?
I have experimented with it, but I'm far more amused when animals play it.
Yeah, what's your favorite theremin, thereminist animal?
I saw a bear playing a theremin.
A bear.
It was very unusual.
With which appendage did he activate the...
Well, one of the claws was, you know, covered in aluminum foil, and one of his ears was also, and the resulting sounds could very well have been regarded as musical. Would you like
to see my clip? Wow.
He, the bear, possessed a profound sense of rhythm, timing, and grace.
And the theremin itself is—it almost felt like one of the most New Age instruments. Like, if I think the typewriter revolutionized typing, that the theremin is really the New Age of instruments. I feel like. I don't know what's producing the sound, because you're not touching the instrument, but I feel maybe it's activating the power stones inside of you, maybe ruby or argillite or phthalate. There's different power stones than other instruments.
It's really a fascinating result that one could play an instrument without striking a bell, without pushing a pedal or strumming a string.
I hear it was Martin Luther King Jr.'s instrument of choice.
The theremin?
Yeah.
Well, we can, of course, appreciate why. I mean, the attitude of the man was to effect change without striking. It was very, very well explained by the theremin.
Yes. Looking at you.
I am getting totally wet
just looking at you. And but having the bear play the theremin is really contradictory to all that theremin stands for, so I wonder what the bear was thinking.
Well, why do you say it's contradictory?
Bears are pretty forthright. They have claws. They like to claw. But maybe because his paw was wrapped in tinfoil, it could no longer claw.
Well, I understand you are saying that the bear is a creature of striking, but simultaneously the bear effects change in nature beyond what it directly interacts with, I believe.
And what are we listening to now, Dr. Ellis?
We are listening to The Heart of Space. This is Rasa Gopinatha, An Oasis of Peace.
I thought I was going for a dystopia of peace, but glad to know that it's more of a utopian than I am.
It is, perhaps. Well, you know, it's all about how you regard the dishware.
Huh. Yeah. Which dishware are you, Dr. Ross?
I believe that in the, you know, the locus of dishware, I would be a spork. Neither here nor there.
Dr. Ellis, we have another call. I think you have to take it.
We should try yet again. Well, let us see.
But if you'd like to call and with a better dishware that you are,
right?
Please call.
Caller, which dishware are you?
Two.
6:46 a.m. Saturday. Message 21.
Robotic
collar. An alarm clock is not a dishware. It's more of a...
More of an appliance,
yeah,
really.
Yeah, or a kitchen utensil. I like spoons more than sporks. They seem easier to use, but I really prefer the really small spoons that really aren't useful for anything except picking up M&Ms. Because really, it's... I can live off M&Ms. I just want a spoon that's devoted solely to the M&M. You can't even pick up an M&M. You can just pick up an M.
A single M?
Yeah.
Well, yes. That is a very specialized instrument. But, you know, if it really, like language, depends on the culture that is using it. Mm. Well, we again have a call. Let's see if it's robotic or organic. Good evening. Are you vegetable, animal, or mineral?
Okay, I'm around.
Mineral.
Okay, the time.
Well, we fade out our mineral callers. If you are organic, we have 4 minutes remaining, and we would be happy to hear your organs. So, you would regard yourself, Scrabbles, as an M&M spoon.
Oh, for sure, yes.
Mm. But it's interesting that we are both scooping implements. Well, I know it's amusing, but in my culture, it is regarded as somewhat barbaric to scoop food and shovel it into your mouth. Traditionally, we eat with our hands. You know, there is a particular way of doing it. You are not to actually place your fingers in your mouth.
So you throw your food in your mouth?
No, you pick it up and you place it in your mouth without the, you know, so the food touches your lips and your tongue, but the the lips, your fingers do not actually enter the oral orifice. It's regarded as
sacred.
Well, not bad, but rude to put your finger in your mouth directly. But here, you know, the spoon is the softest of implements.
Yeah. Spark would be second softest.
Well, we have a call. Let us experiment and see if it's organic. Marhaban, this is...
Hakafarikian.
Hakafarikian. So, I understand that you are organic. How are your organs today?
Timmy.
I don't think they're very good. Can we help you?
Love you. Lunch mug. Finish name. I was a star. I could have been a contender.
Well, caller, thank you for your call. Unfortunately, we have only a minute remaining. Well, from Music for Humans, we would like to thank our listeners and particularly our callers. We are back next Friday at the same time here in Cambridge on WMBR 88.1 FM. Good evening from me, Dr. Jalas Sakran.
And from Scrabbles, good evening.
All right, ma'asalama. Thank you.
Alice Martin can't leave the house until she has checked the locks 31 times. Bob Armstrong never knows when he'll have another panic attack, but when he does, he's afraid he'll die. Sally Walters can't go to the mall or even the grocery store. She's deathly afraid of crowds. And ever since she was assaulted 3 years ago, Marie Adams has nightmares, flashbacks, and feels like she can trust no one. More than 23 million Americans suffer from anxiety disorders. They live with intense, unrelenting fear, worry, dread, uncontrollable thoughts, or compulsive behaviors. But they don't have to. Research on the brain and behavior is giving us new insights into these disorders and new treatments. Call 1-888-ANXIETY for the latest information. And get your life back. A public service message from the National Institute of Mental Health.
Hello, and welcome to WMBR. I am Josh, here with Hidden Gems in Plain Sight. Just 1 second. We're here with on WMBR, 88.1 FM. And this is Hidden Gems in Plain Sight, proving you it's not that hard to find good music if you know where to look.